Good morning. The first case on the docket this morning is United States versus Tucker. Are the parties ready? Okay, we'll hear first from the appellant.
Chief Judge Ehrman, judges of the court, may it please the court. I'm Captain Tim Burrows. Major Patrick Scudieri and I represent the appellant, Private Stephen Tucker. Wrongdoing must be conscious to be criminal. This is one of the most fundamental principles of criminal law, and it has been a guiding principle for this court's jurisprudence since its foundation. Now, as a general rule, like anything in the law, it has some exceptions, but Article 134 of the UCMJ has never been treated as a broad blanket exception to this axiom of justice. The Army Court's opinion, however, seems to turn that basic principle on its head in suggesting that Article 134 UCMJ establishes a negligence standard writ large that puts it beyond the reach of United States v. Alonis. It defies the history of this court's jurisprudence as a general matter and as a specific matter relating to Article 134. So we can approach this question in two different ways. The quickest route really is to simply look at this court's opinion in United States versus Raper. There, this court addressed the question of whether negligence was sufficient to establish an offense under Article 134. In that case, we were looking at the offense of communicating a threat. And this court found that its jurisprudence, the history of that particular offense as charged under Article 134, required proof of some conscious element, a subjective element that put it on the right side, if you will, of the United States versus Alonis. That really solves the question before this court. But we can also take a longer, more nuanced approach to understanding it. And that starts with Article 134 UCMJ. Since Parker v. Levy, it's been clear.
Counsel, you were talking about a new, more nuanced approach. What would be wrong with this court taking a meat cleaver approach? What if we were to, for the sake of argument, decide that the opinion of the CCA pivots solely on a misunderstanding having to do with neglects, that term being used in the statute, imposing a negligence mens rea requirement, and we simply say to the CCA, you got it wrong. Do over in light of Alonis and Heffernan. What would be wrong with that meat cleaver approach?
Well, Your Honor, I would say the first chop of that cleaver would be correct in the sense that the term neglects does not equate to negligence. There's no established jurisprudence supporting that position. However, I would submit to the court that it's been very clear since the 1950s up until, the opinion that you issued just a few weeks ago in United States v. Haverty, that negligence is not the starting point for criminality.
Why shouldn't we have the CCA do that analysis? The CCA did not have the benefit of Haverty at the time that they decided this. As I said, there could be the view that their whole decision pivots on misunderstanding how neglects, that term, plays out here. Why shouldn't we just return it to them and say, do it over?
Your Honor, I would submit that this court is the best place forum to resolve this question. It is an issue
If we resolve it, we're still going to have to send it back for a sentence reassessment, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So why not let them do the whole thing at the same time?
I would submit judicial efficiency is best served by clarifying this issue for the Army Court right now.
So to you, Haverty does not make this clear? Is it the position of defense that there's any ambiguity about how this specific provision should be decided?
There's no ambiguity from the defense's perspective, Your Honor. I think Rapert made it clear, and the Army Court had the benefit of that opinion. In fact, it attempted to distinguish Rapert, and I think they just simply didn't understand its meaning. When this court said, we are considering the question as to whether negligence can establish an offense under Article 134 on the specific case of communicating a threat, and the Army Court didn't consider that in their analysis, analysis which precludes their finding. I see no reason to send it back to them. I mean, I think.
But as Judge Ryan noted, it's going back anyways, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. And I would submit that perhaps the best way to do that is to limit the questions that they have to resolve on this case.
We send it back saying you're wrong. I mean, it doesn't seem that complicated.
I don't think it's that complicated either, Your Honor. And if the court would like to go that route, I mean, certainly we can't oppose that. I mean, because the ultimate point that we're getting at here is that opinion is untenable. There is no support for it at all.
Is there any harm to your client in terms of presumably based on the sentence that was imposed, your client is still incarcerated?
He's in incarceration. To be fair, the offense in question today is probably one of the least serious of the offenses that he's facing.
Because he's also been convicted of sexual assault and obstruction of justice and conspiracy. So in terms of this particular offense having to do with distribution of alcohol to minors, commonsensically it wouldn't have a, presumably would not have a significant effect on the sentence imposed. Is that your point?
I think that's a fair point, Your Honor. I mean, this is not the gravamen offense in the case. However, the implications of the Army Court's opinion are breathtaking in their potential reach. We have Article 134, which is, to use this court's own language, you know, a criminal provision couched in sweeping language. That much is clear. The Supreme Court has had to address this question, Parker v. Levy, and the potential reach of Article 134 is almost limitless. When we understand that and then have this idea that potentially negligence is the starting point for culpability when charging an offense under this provision.
But Captain Burroughs, doesn't Judge Olson's, I don't want to say his position, but hypothetical proposal obviate all of that concern?
Well, Your Honor, I think it still requires a court to address this question.
Well, wouldn't they be required to address it?
I think they have to.
If we tell them to address it, don't they have to address it? Don't they got to do what we got to tell them to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's correct. We could have them do it again.
I mean, why don't we just say disorders and neglects means you either did something or you failed to do something. You got it back wrong.
We could do that, Your Honor, but I think the problem is more fundamental because the term disorders and neglects is not the only aspect of their opinion. I mean, that's how they came to this conclusion, but there is nearly seven decades of case law rejecting that opinion, that the very idea that negligence is the starting point. And
it sounds like we agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, pending any further questions from the court.
And if you'd like to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, like
that. All right. Well, with that, if there are no issues or questions from the court, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Granted. Thank you, counsel. The court will now hear from the government.
Chief Judge Erdman, judges of the court, may it please the court, my name is Captain John Gardella, and along with Major Cormick Smith, we represent the United States. Article 134 is intended to criminalize a wide range of conduct.
Captain Gardella, now you just sat here and heard, but I'm not going to put myself into that box, but there are a fair number of comments here that suggest that the government's position might be on flimsy ground.
I agree with you, Your Honor. I hear the comments, at least as far as they were made to my co-counsel. However, though, I would still like to
you have a job
argue
to do.
The fact that the Army Court ultimately did not err in its ultimate decision that negligent conduct can be punished under Article 134.
Well, you've got.
I don't think anyone disagrees that there can be instances, perhaps, where negligence might be the standard. But I think that here, I mean, their analysis seems to be that because it says
disorders and neglects, that somehow that means negligence for all Article 1. That would be for all Article 134 offenses, and I don't think that you really can stand here and tell us that that's so, right? And what about the Gifford opinion? Which talked about, I realize it was an Article 9, it was Article 92, but it was the same sort of thing, right?
Correct, Your Honor. And
so, I mean, I understand you have a job to do, but, right? I mean, you also have a duty of candor to the court.
Absolutely. And we're not disagreeing with that premise, Your Honor. What the distinction, I guess, between our position and the defense position, as at least briefed, as it seems that the defense position is that all conduct punished under General Article 134 needs at least a reckless mens rea. And that is something that we certainly disagree with. And that is why we believe that the Army Corps ultimately came to the correct decision in saying that this was a negligent act that could be punished under Article 134. And although neglects may not be a synonym or the equivalent of negligence.
Neglects is a noun. Disorders is a noun. Disorders, neglects. Positive, negative. It doesn't have anything to do with negligence. They got that totally wrong.
But ultimately,
what's the government's position? The government's position, I think, is what you're saying, is that negligence is enough within the narrow confines of giving booze to minors?
Yes, Your Honor. And
well, if you, number one, I question whether this is simple negligence. If you've got a barracks full of 18 and 19 and 20, leaving aside the total silliness of the rule, as enforced by the Army and the other armed forces. But you've got a barracks full of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, and you're giving booze to all comers. Doesn't that kind of get you into recklessness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, then why do we need to decide anything else? Why do we need to decide the abstract proposition? If his conduct's reckless, it's reckless. End of story.
What do you do about the fact that the military judge didn't explain reckless as the standard that was necessary for his act to be criminal? I mean, I know that we, in other instances, have talked about that need in a providence inquiry, which is that you have to know why they're guilty. And I can say that I think that that's a silly rule, because in most federal courts you just come in and say, I'm guilty, but that is our rule.
And in cases like United States v. Jones, Your Honor, I would point to that this court has said that that the appellant, even though that the appellant did not was not advised of all of the elements of the specific crime, the appellant was still aware of the conduct, was aware of the elements, and pled guilty because he was guilty. And that is the same situation here. Ultimately, if you find that recklessness was the correct mens rea. But the government's position is that Article 134 can punish negligent conduct and that the military judge was correct in advising the appellant on negligence as one of the elements of the offense, and that appellant was then provident. Even if he was also provident to a reckless mens rea, he was certainly provident to a negligent mens rea.
What do you do about Gifford? Right, that wasn't that similar, like giving alcohol to underage minors?
Yes, Your Honor, very similar
didn't
offense.
Didn't we require recklessness as the mens rea necessary to demarcate between criminal and non-criminal behavior?
Yes, Your Honor, very similar actions. However, this being an Article 134 offense requires that it be prejudicial to good order and discipline. And as far as Article 134 and the legislative intent of Article 134, as we see through cases like United States v. Parker v. Levy, the court has narrowed the range of conduct that can be punished under Article 134 because it needs to be directly connected to good order and discipline or services crediting. So the court however, the legislator did not intend to narrow Article 134 with specific mens rea requirements. So it didn't intend for a specific intent element, didn't want a reckless mens rea or a negligence mens rea. But as long as the notice requirements in Article 134 are met, as long as there's a direct and palpable connection to service discrediting a prejudicial good order and discipline, then this act can be punished under Article 134. So although we have similar actions, we have a much different case here, which is a much different article here, which is much more similar and analogous to what is ultimately a public welfare offense in the civilian code, as commonly
this,
known.
This wasn't your position at the CCA on this main issue that we're dealing with here. What changed the government's mind? Just is your duty to defend the CCA's opinion, or was there some epiphany that that's the right way to go?
Ultimately, Your Honor, at the CCA, the position was that appellant was provident to the crimes that he pled guilty to. So although this wasn't exactly our position, admittedly, we were not expecting an ultimate decision on the mens rea for Article 134.
You got a present from the CCA, and now you want to defend it.
Well, we thought that it would be based on just the facts of this case, whether he was provident or not to. And as stated before, and as you stated, Judge Stuckey, this defendant, or this accused, was provident to both negligent and reckless acts. So regardless, it was not prejudicial.
Do you agree that the term neglect in the statute does not equate to negligence?
Well, it's not that simple.
Don't agree.
But it is associated with negligent acts, Your Honor. And the reason why I say that is because articles like Article 108, Article 99, Article 87 that were also inserted into UCMJ articles imposed into the MCM at the same time as Article 134 was, they all use the same term neglect.
So your position is the CCA got it right?
Well, not that it's equivalent to neglects equaling negligence, but that they're closely associated. So where Article 108 uses the term neglect, this court's found that negligent conduct can be punished under Article 108 for damage to military property. Where Article 99, misbehavior before the enemy, through disobedience, neglect, or intentional conduct, this court has again interpreted this article to encompass negligent conduct. So admittedly, in none of those cases do, and in those cases, I'm citing United States v. Shellen and United States v. Yarbrough. And in those cases, the court never specifically says, well, neglect is synonymous with negligence.
But can't a person neglect their duty either intentionally or negligently? It's not always going to mean negligence. I mean, there's no automatic equivalency there. The action that they take may well be intentional. Using the term neglect.
Yes, Your Honor. And so then the next step would be to look at the legislative intent, the congressional intent behind Article 134.
The problem is Article 134 is a fairly general article, right? And you want to have, it sounds like, a all-purpose mens rea for every possible permutation of Article 134.
Your argument would put a negligence standard in every Article 134 offense.
Not in every Article 134 offense, but that the government can charge negligent acts or could charge specific intent acts or could charge reckless acts and would probably receive a higher punishment from the ultimate fact finder or the decision maker in that case as a result of that charged action.
Why is it that you think that this specific particular act, right, is one that negligence is a proper mens rea?
Because that's ultimately what the government charged and what the military judge instructed the appellant on. So
it has to be negligence because otherwise the charge, he's not provident. I mean, that's your argument?
Well, it doesn't have to be negligence, Your Honor, but it is in this case because that is essentially what appellant was. In previous Article 134 cases, this court has looked at the elements of the offense as instructed upon by the military judge when you have a providence inquiry. So when the military judge instructs, for instance, in U.S. v. Vaughn on culpable negligence, the this court analyze whether culpable negligence was the proper standard in that case. And so this court should do the same thing in this case and analyze whether negligence was the proper standard.
But what I'm asking is, why do you think that negligence is the proper standard? Because if it wasn't the proper standard, right, he can't be provident even if he agreed that he was negligent. Even if that's what the government charged, even if he agreed that's what he did, if we think that that's not the proper mens rea, it can't be a provident plea. Do you understand why?
Because, and in that case, Your Honor, for instance, in U.S. v. Vaughn again, the court was looking at notice, whether the appellant had proper notice as to that mens rea, that culpable negligence or simple negligence. And the reason why they said the military judge was correct in culpable negligence was because that's what was used in many civilian statutes, and that was what was implied, I guess, by the regulations and the customs. And that's really the issue in this case, Your Honor, is whether the appellant had proper notice as to negligence, not whether the mens rea intended by the legislator was for negligence or not. As the congressional intent is clear in this case, that the mens rea for Article 134 could be a wide range of mens rea requirements, but the appellant still has to have proper notice that his actions are subject to criminal sanction.
Seems to me the notice that he got was deliberate indifference or deliberate ignorance. Isn't that what the government argued at the trial?
Yes, Your Honor. That deliberate ignorance, that he was aware that soldiers in that barracks room were under the age of 21 and that he did not actually do anything to check their ID or to find out what their age would be.
Does he have a duty imposed by law or regulation to check IDs at a private party?
Well, if that actions are
so... You're arguing for negligence. You're arguing for a negligence standard. Negligence only comes in if you got a duty imposed and you disregard that duty. Where'd the duty come from?
Yes, sir. And that duty has to be imposed as to whether it is prejudicial good or indiscipline or services credit.
That doesn't answer the question. Where does the duty come from? Is there a duty imposed by law or regulation?
From military custom, Your Honor.
From custom?
Yes.
There is a custom to ask people if they're 21 when you serve them a drink?
Well, you don't have to.
I've never heard that before, and I spent 26 years admittedly in the Air Force, but
different rules.
And so, again, Your Honor, similar to U.S. v. Vaughn, where you have a child neglect case, you have the custom of the service analyzed, and you have the regulations, that the DOD regulations, the Army regulations that were in effect at that time, the family advocacy program and things along those lines, to find out whether the appellant had notice as to culpable negligence.
That's culpable negligence. That's a different thing.
But it's still a duty imposed on the accused at the time, Your Honor. And although it may require more of a reckless type of actions, it's still that he disregarded some foreseeable consequence, so it's a duty imposed, Your Honor. And so we can look at the same regulations in this case, the DOD instructions on problematic substance abuse by DOD personnel, DOD directive on drug and alcohol abuse by DOD personnel. The Army regulation has specific paragraphs on underage drinking being prohibited. So although the appellant doesn't have to have a specific notice of this duty to check IDs, but has to have notice that this subject area, this alcohol, is something that could be prejudicial good order and discipline, and is something that needs to be restricted as far as who you're giving it out to.
Counsel, do you have any reason to believe that your arguments here on those points would have any less resonance at the CCA than they would have with us? You could make all those arguments to the CCA, couldn't you?
Yes, Your Honor. But as this court has done in U.S. v. Gifford and in U.S. v. Haverty, has discussed the requirements per statute and per specific instance within each one of those cases as to what the mens rea requirements are, and can do that here as well. But absolutely, we can make these same arguments.
Counsel, it seems like the CCA used this neglect equates to negligence theory to get out of the Ilonis umbrella. So let's just assume that that approach that they took, that neglect means negligence, is wrong. Then how did they get out of Ilonis?
Just like in U.S. v. Balint, Your Honor, where the Supreme Court discusses that the general rule from common law that mens rea is a necessary element in every crime was modified in statutes the purpose of which would be instructed by such a requirement. So you still have to look to what was the intent of the statute, what was the purpose of the statute. We know that specifically for this Article 134 offense because the purpose of the statute is determined, it was looked at in Parker v. Levy. It was determined to be obedience so that there's no question for officers to command and for soldiers to obey. And looking at that obedience purpose that the legislator was intending, the Congress was intending to punish, you know, a wide range. It was essentially a catch-all, as the Army Court uses the term correctly, a catch-all for Article 134 to punish a wide range of conduct that was not specifically explained in any one of the punitive articles in order to accomplish that ultimate purpose of obedience. And so looking at the clear legislative intent, even though the language of the statute particularly may not be the end all, it may not finish the question, it doesn't actually say negligence or state multiple mens rea, this court still needs to look to the legislative intent. In U.S. v. Balint, there was no specific language in the statute that indicated no mens rea. There was, however, because of the purpose of the statute.
This goes back to my counsel, which is that you want to have the mens rea be negligence, right, for obedience, I guess. But Article 134 has listed or enumerated a bunch of enumerated offenses that there's no way negligence is appropriate for. So you can't have one mens rea fits all.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And you haven't, at least in my mind, explained why it should be the standard in this particular case. I mean, I understand that it's because otherwise you lose, right? But you haven't articulated why negligence is appropriate here.
Negligence, because the whole premise in U.S. v. Griffin, or Gifford, I'm sorry, that recklessness was necessary to separate wrongful from innocent conduct, and that very similar action acts as we have here, was based on the fact that the general article had no specific mens rea requirement in it, and there was no legislative intent to look at behind that general order. In this case, you do have a large range of congressional intent to look at. You have, so the court is not to infer a mens rea in this case because you don't need to separate wrongful from innocent conduct if the government was acting within what was the purpose of Article 134, to punish even negligent conduct. So there's no reason for this court to infer a mens rea in this case.
So I see your time has expired. You may briefly summarize.
Thank you, Your Honor. This court should find that Article 134 criminalizes a wide range of conduct with various mens rea to include negligent and strict liability offenses, and that the military judge in this case correctly found the appellant guilty of general Article 134 offense for negligently providing alcohol to minors. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any rebuttal? Okay. Thank you. The court thanks counsel for both parties. The case is now submitted. And the court will be in recess until 10:10.
All rise. Court stands in recess until 10:10.